Hey guys, so audio's a little choppy in this one. We were away from our normal setup and didn't really have the equipment that we needed, but releasing it anyway because it was a really fun episode and I think the content was good. It was really fun to make. So thank you for listening. Again, apologies about the audio, but I hope you enjoy. Welcome back to the mix, everyone. I'm Warren. That's Alardo.
Hello.
And today we have a special guest, my dad.
What's up, planet Earth?
And today we have a pretty gonna say like old fashioned, but that doesn't really make any sense. But we have a little bit of throwback on the slate. We have Sound of Freedom, which is not a throwback. We have the original Carrie movie, the Stephen King movie, Caddyshack, and Corner Office. So, yeah, pretty packed slate today. But first, we're going to start off with Sound of Freedom, which was fairly new, I think. There was like a bunch of problems with its release and stuff. I didn't look too much into it, but
Me either.
guess there was a little something going on there. But, as a movie overall, what were your thoughts?
Make me go first?
Yeah, and he goes after.
Yeah, I thought it was all right. Solid, good performances. I thought the story itself was like interesting. I don't know. I just the way they executed it, I feel like there's a different way they could have told that story. You know what I'm saying?
What do you mean, like?
Like, I don't know. It felt like it was bordering the line between like realistic and like it still wanted to be a movie though, you know? Like it wanted to have like epic, not epic moments, but like, you know what I mean? Those movie moments where it's like, I guess the way they talk and the dialogue and the things that happen, like going undercover and doing all these things. Like it was that some parts didn't feel realistic to me, but like some parts also did though. Like I don't know, just that tonal difference to me was like a bit weird.
Think.
Yeah, I found it very compelling. A lot of it hit home for me because I'm a father myself. Prospect of snapped and not being able to find them would just be the early scene when the dad takes his two kids and the lady says, "Oh, they'll be back later," and back and pick them up. And that scene, powerful when he went back that place and his kids were there and nobody was there. That really very emotionally. Mind you're thinking, oh, place of that dad as well as those kids. So innocent, they don't know what's going to happen to them, oh, what is done? Sex trafficking, or they're used as drug mules, hell on earth type of scenario for them. Very impacted by that. Fact that, you know, I followed the issue somewhat. Overall look at child trafficking, and it is such a big problem that sometimes is not know, I thought, yeah, I don't know, it the storyline is kind of, I guess maybe generic is a, not the right word, but kind of knew what was going to happen overall. Kind of twists and turns.
Surprises, yeah.
Yeah. So, but I thought it was a solid story. I think actor, Passion of the Christ.
All I know him from, but that's like the one there.
I believe one of the, I want to say the Three Musketeers movie. Pass, or he. Yeah, some kind of swashbuckling characters as well. Yeah, so, and at the end of the movie, it was also very emotional when, the brother who trying to find his sister and then them finally being reunited. Veil of what
The
is happening
subject, yeah.
in reality out there. Idea of people wanting to
The awareness.
Kind of to piggyback on that, pretty much like it's not really something that I was thinking about, obviously, like before this, so it brought my attention to that as an issue, and I think that's good. But like since I'm not a parent too, it was like I've never really thought about this deeply ever. So yeah, I think in the goal of raising awareness, it definitely did that. Intense movie. Like
Yeah.
I don't know, it's probably the most like intense movie I watched in a minute.
No, like also like what's the word I'm looking for? Like it did it as I don't want to say clean, but like it didn't want to show anything like the subject matter, it didn't want to show anything though, right? Like before it gets too much, they like cut away or like they don't they treat it like kind of nicely, you know?
Like it's I don't know the word, but
Yeah,
I know
there's
what
a
you're
word
saying.
for it, yeah.
I think appropriate for
Appropriate, I guess
a
probably.
wider
Yeah,
audience
exactly.
where they didn't have to slap a rated R.
Yeah.
Was it PG-13?
It was
Yeah,
like a
it was.
PG-13, yeah.
So they're trying to reach as wide an audience as
Yeah.
possible, and so the rating helps that. And generally, if you know anything about sex trafficking, child trafficking,
You already imagine the
you already
worst,
know what's happening, and
Felt super bad for the kids, but yeah, like you guys, it wasn't like a generic story. It was like cook, not cookie cutter either, but like the story wasn't really like the main.
I know, like saying like generic or like it feels like a negative, but like it's like that's the kind of story like that's what they're trying to tell though, you know? So it's like I guess the basic
Not really a
same
knock.
story beats like you've kind of seen, yeah.
It's not really a knock on it because it's still.
That's what they're trying to like
Yeah.
show.
And I would add that the main character that Jim Caviezel plays is based on an actual
Yeah.
person
Yeah.
who is involved in trying to fight child trafficking. So his involvement in the story and so on, he's telling some real events that he lived through. So in that sense, it's kind of trying to bring that reality of real life.
And like how they went about catching or like their plans were
Like that was the movie
clever.
side of it. Like
Yeah, it was
it
like
feels like a
interesting and
yeah.
clever. Brought a little extra something, I guess, to the story too, which was good. But yeah, man, it was just a really intense movie. But what would you give it out of 5? What kind of brings it down for you?
Just what I was saying earlier about like that. For me personally, that tonal is like it's fighting between being cinematic and like.
Yeah, I feel that. What about you?
I gotta go for any movies. I always look for bringing out some sort of emotion,
Yeah.
whether it's laughter or
Actually,
fear
yeah.
or sadness or anger. That really brings lot into my judgment. And so even though, yeah, I kind of knew what was going to happen and I used earlier, I thought it was very powerful.
Yeah, I'm gonna go 4 as well. It kept my attention for the whole movie. I can't really point out anything that was like really bothered me about it. It was super powerful, brought my attention to something that I hadn't really thought about. So I thought it was good. To cap it off, I wrote down one of the stats at the end here. Human trafficking is a $150 billion a year business. The United States is one of the top destinations for human trafficking and is among the largest consumers of child sex.
That I just thought about. Yeah. You know, we were talking at the top about the release was kind of funky, kind of done a few years ago. There was a delay in the release. Part of that, but I do know that the reputation of Hollywood for being involved in, you know, salacious activity, sexuality, thought of as part of why the movie was more independently produced. Company backed it.
All right. On that note, let's move on to the second movie here. Oh, yep. Yep. So we have Carrie, the original Carrie. It was remade twice.
Larda, did you see?
Hold on, sorry. So yeah, after I watched this one, I watched the remake in 2013, and there was a TV show remake in between there somewhere.
Yeah, because I saw like a 2003 something.
That's probably what it was.
Okay.
It was a TV show remake. Because they're
That makes sense. But so yeah, well, we were focused on the original because my dad wanted to watch the original. So yeah, that's where we are going to focus today. But what were your thoughts on the original? But also, you're the only one that watched the remake. So
So actually, I'm surprised to find like this was the first Stephen King adaptation. But it is. It feels so like natural though. Like, it feels just like another part of.
Yeah.
You know? But it was the first one. But yeah, I thought it was really good. I think. Honestly, it should be a 5, but I think it's just in between. There's some spots where it like kind of dips a little bit, but the payoff at the end is so good. Like the entire movie is just, it's one of those movies where it has a certain vibe about it, and in my opinion, it just wants to make you feel uncomfortable the entire way through, and then have that payoff at the end. You know. Yeah, that payoff is crazy. That's what movies are about. Just yeah, kind of like what you're saying, like the emotional, making you like feel something, right? Like this in particular, like it gives you that visceral reaction at the end. It's just like,
had you watched this? Did you only watch this movie recently?
Yeah, no, I watched it for this episode. I haven't watched it ever.
Okay, wow. So that's some pretty strong,
like first reaction.
Reactions to it. Yeah,
I thought it was awesome. Yeah.
What about you?
Well, as I was telling you, son, I saw this movie in the theater.
That's correct.
When I was 14 years old.
Reactions must have been in.
So I saw it. For those of you old schoolers out there, if there's anybody watching from my generation, this was in the Waikiki 3 Theater on Kalka Avenue. And before the movies would start, there was a guy that would play the organ for just whatever reason. It's kind of cool.
That would make me not ever want to watch a horror movie ever.
Nah, but it was cool. You talk the story, waiting for the thing to start. So anyway, so being a teenager, a young teenager, I didn't really know what to expect. I didn't really know who Stephen King was even. But watching the movie, I'm not a big horror flick guy, but I mean, I'll watch a good one. Once again, I like good stories that bring emotion out in me. And it was scary. The star Sissy Spacek is, of course, a well-known actress. This is, I believe, her first movie. But she kind of had that. I really thought was a great choice for the star. I thought that she had that sense of innocence, which because she was so sheltered by her mother, that she played that part very well.
Yeah.
But then the part when she kind of like would snap and turn, as you mentioned, Warren, when all the blood was on her and her eyes. Make those eyes pop out. And she really changed into that kind of just out of control, telekinetic monster. You know, that was out of control.
All of the characters are cast pretty well. Like, everybody looks their part. The mean girls look like mean girls. The nice guy looked like a nice guy. But yeah, especially Carrie herself, though. She's Yeah, that was really.
Yeah, what before we were just starting the movie, and then he goes, what did you say? He said, I don't know if I want to watch this again. I was pretty scared the first time. So I had, like, I was really, not scared. Like, I was, the lead up was very anxiety filled for me because I hate horror movies. But honestly, I didn't really feel uncomfortable until toward the end. It was almost like a little bit slow for me. I was even like, is this a horror movie? Because it's
he texted me that.
Yeah.
Was like, and I was like, I'm just gonna wait to answer that.
But yeah, but once it picks up, like, it picks up, you know. Once that climax happens, like, all right, you got me. It's cool. Chill out. But yeah, her eyes. I don't know. Maybe I want to say, like, it could have been, like, shorter.
I mean, it was pretty short, actually.
It was it wasn't minutes. Too long. So
I was saying that too. Like, it kind of dips, but almost every scene is kind of necessary because it says something about the characters the entire way through, or like, yeah, just like that relationship with her mom.
Yeah,
but the other students too. But it also adds to the payoff as well, because like with the amount of things that happen in that prom scene, there's so many characters involved too. And like, if you take out any scene, I feel like it wouldn't hit the same.
Yeah, that's true. I think I was just
waiting for something to happen.
Yeah, that's what it felt. I was waiting for something to happen, and it took a really long time, and I kind of relaxed at one point. Also, Norma, which is the Mario-looking character, she dresses like Mario, bro. That bothered me the whole movie, bro. She wore a hat to prom.
Warren could not stop commenting about it. There she is with the hat again.
She wears the stupidest hat. Even to the prom, like, nobody wears a hat like that. It was bothering me the whole movie, dude. But yeah, overall, it was that very end part where, like, yeah, I don't want to spoil it, but the end part, I jumped. So.
Oh yeah,
well, almost got through the whole movie without jumping.
Yeah, that scared the crap out of me. I remember in the theater when I was there because we didn't know, right? And you have this calm scene. And then it just erupts like that. Was, you know, because you think everything is over, the climax has occurred, and you're like, okay, calming down. Whew, I survived that. And then you get that last jump at the end. Yeah. Now that I think that's the part that when I was going to watch it again, I was like, oh, okay. I remember that part. And that always stuck with me, guaranteed. But, you know, watching again all these years later, it's kind of weird in the sense that, yeah, I kind of knew it already, what the story was. It wasn't as scary. Different kind of time-wise. I also wanted to, I think this might have been John Travolta's first
movie. Yeah.
I could be wrong on this. We could fact check that, viewers out there, or our studio fact checker.
Yeah, maybe, Michael, was this John Travolta's first movie?
Yeah, good casting, though. I was like, yeah, he looks...
Yeah, okay, and like, he would just go into superstardom very soon after that with Saturday Night Fever.
That reminds me, the bucket, knocking the knocking the poem boy, I don't know what his name was.
Yeah.
How did you feel about that? I don't know.
It feels super unnecessary, but I don't think Carrie would have done anything to him, so like they had to kind of let him...
Oh, okay, yeah.
That's another way, yeah.
Because he actually turned out being nice to her.
He's actually a good guy, yeah.
And I don't know, the whole weird thing about his, and I missed a little bit of milk because I went to take a bath and stuff. His girlfriend told him to take her to the prom.
That's the
other
thing.
That part I didn't get.
Yeah, because I was like, why doesn't she just be friends with Carrie instead of telling this boy to... That part didn't make any sense to me. Like,
yeah. So that was a fail by Stephen King. I can critique his writing. Yeah. I don't know. Lardo, you got any comment on that part? You know what we're talking about?
I mean, I thought it was nice, but, you know, it is a little bit weird.
Yeah, like, bro, just be your friend. I don't know.
Because it seemed like he started to like her.
Yeah.
Because they slow dance and kissed her and so on. So I was like, wait a minute. But then the girlfriend comes in and how does that all work? I mean, that just kind of took out.
Yeah.
Like suspension of disbelief is the
Little bit of a hole there.
But the remake.
Tell us about the remake. Yeah,
it's such a Frankenstein's monster of a movie because they copied everything that was good. It felt like they were like, okay, everything that was good about the original, let's just copy that and improve where we can improve. But it's like when you do that, it feels like two different movies at times. So they tried to make it modern, right? So there's an interesting thing where when they would bully her, they like filmed her and stuff. So that made it interesting. And the prom scene, they would like show the video for that, you know, the beginning with the in the shower. They filmed that. And later in the prom scene, they put that up on like for everybody to see. So I thought that was a good change because like that's what would happen actually, like modern now, right? So where they would like change stuff is like interesting, but then everything else was literally the same beat for beat, like the stuff with the mom. And like it was like some scenes, I swear you could put it side by side and it'd be the exact same thing. So it's like it's just weird. Like why would just either make it completely different your own thing, or copy the exact same movie the first time? But it's like it feels like two different movies at times. But yeah, there are good changes too, though.
And, but I want to know, Elardo, you said that you still like the original better, and why is that?
Because I guess it's just that origin, like that's the remake. There's not much originality, you know. Like make it your own, like do something new with it. And the parts where they did do that, it felt like, oh yeah, like this should have just done this the entire movie. Like it really went like really gory at the end with because it's modern now, right? So they got to do all that. So like some of those deaths were like, whoa. And you know how the main bullies, they're well, spoilers, but you know it's been kind of wild. Their deaths were like the car just blew up and that was it, right? They went extreme with the remake. Like, she was, like, stopping their car and making them... It was crazy, yeah. It was very violent. So, like, there are good changes there, too. Oh, and I don't think it happened in the original, but she locked her mom in the closet when she went to go to prom. So I thought that was a good, like, you know, reverse the roles a bit, because she would lock her in the closet.
Yeah.
And I don't think the original did that. So I was like, well, that was pretty interesting, too. And a word change, though, was she got pregnant at the end. The we were talking about the poem boy and his girlfriend, she was pregnant, and then I guess I don't know, they're trying to do something with that.
What?
Yeah, like she had his baby even though he was dead. I don't know. Yeah, they were doing something with that too.
Huh.
Yeah.
I got no comment on
that. I don't know.
Why is that necessary?
I have no idea why they did that. But there's that. So
interesting. Well, what would you rate the original? The original
is a 4, solid 4.
Yeah, I gotta go 4 as well. I was scared when I first saw it. I mean, I wasn't scared this time, but it kept my attention. Just there was a sense of nostalgia in the sense that I had seen this so long ago, and then I get to watch it again. And once again, Sissy Spacek was a great performer in the film. You know, the mom was just batshit crazy, weird.
Yeah.
Very creepy.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you get some corny parts of high school and stuff. Remember we made the comment about the teacher smoking in the principal's office?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. She was just smoking in there.
So that just brought me back to, you know, when I went to school and everything, there were teachers smoking all over the place. And so that was kind of interesting. And, yeah, so yeah, 4 for me. It was good.
That reminds me too, though. But the remake, again, the remake, I said like in the original, the casting was really good, right? Like everybody looks the part. In the remake, everybody looks good. Like Carrie herself, it's Chloe Grace Moretz. And she's like, she's not, you know, she's not bad looking. She doesn't look like she'd go crazy.
Yeah.
And then, the casting in the remake as well is just like, everybody looks, you could have kind of just switched the actors around and probably be the same movie. I feel like you can't do that with the original.
I'm good. Okay. I'm going to sound like a hater. I'm going 3.5. There's a lot. The friend thing didn't make sense to me. It was a little slow at times before the actual payoff. That's, I don't know. I can't really give any other reason. Well, and also, I don't know, just being an old movie, it's just, like, not as scary. Like, I'm scared to watch the remake, because, like you're saying, like, the deaths are probably more gory, and, like, That stuff, I don't like that stuff. But it was more watchable for me that way because it was from the 70s. That way, because it's like, oh, she'll just like flip the car and that's it kind of thing, you know? But yeah, 3.5. It was good overall. I have a question though. Was that the first movie that did the you know that sound?
Psycho was that... probably the first one.
Yeah, I think Psycho.
Probably Psycho.
Yeah, that was interesting also. But yeah. All right. We can move on then.
Oh yeah, the camera.
yeah, so third on the slate we have Caddyshack, which was a request from my dad. We want to do some different genres there. Do you want to kind of give your opinion first here? What were your thoughts on Caddyshack? Why did you choose this movie?
Okay, well, I believe I gave you a few different.
You did give us a list, so
you guys picked
Caddyshack.
Yeah, because we had to go through. Yeah, you watched some of them. So
I watched. We cut it out.
All right. So anyway, Caddyshack is just, first of all, it's an older movie from back in my young days. So once again, you got the nostalgia. And those actors are kind of legendary from that era, whether it's Bill Murray or Chevy Chase or Ted Knight, who was the stuffy rich judge guy. He was in Mary Tyler Moore show way back in the way, and that was 70s.
And Rodney Dangerfield.
Rodney Dangerfield. I left him for last because that guy cracked me up. I don't know if you guys have ever heard of Don Rickles, but he's in that kind of class where they just go those one-liners, and his famous one was, "I don't get no respect," you know. And then he delivers those lines just so well. And he was definitely the star of the show. And, you know, it's about golf, so it's sort of a sports movie, and I'm into sports, so it's kind of sports and comedy. What I recalled, and when I watched it again, I didn't remember so much of the story, you know, with the young guy and all of that part, and what he's playing for in the tournament. I just remember some of the madcap aspects of it,
like the funny parts,
with the one-liners for Rodney Dangerfield.
Yeah.
Bill Murray's kind of weird groundskeeper character is kind of bizarre. Chevy Chase is kind of the clumsy yet kind of the trying to be the suave guy.
Yeah.
So some of the jokes were corny, of course, but I thought it was good. It's not my favorite comedy movie, but it has a place in my heart for kind of one of those old comedies.
Yeah, I was gonna say for the time, like you could see why it works. But Alardo, you go.
Like your dad was saying, the this it's from the director of he did Groundhog Day, and then Bill Murray is also in Groundhog Day. So I kind of was familiar with their kind of comedy. Like it was in Ghostbusters, yeah, Groundhog Day. So I was expecting that, and that's pretty much what I got. So, and yeah, it's funny. And it's like a really old school comedy. Like it's not more so about the story, but like there's like different segments, and then there's a basic like storyline like threaded throughout, I guess. But like yeah, so we go from like the how did it start, like that first day when all the rich people came to like the next day, and then the swimming pool and the yacht, and like there's like these different segments, right? And it's just filled with like let the actors just be funny, you know. And that's what it felt like. That's like old school comedy right there. So.
Yeah, I guess I just haven't really watched a lot of old school comedies. I would say, like, I see again why it was good at the time. I think just that type of comedy like isn't really I personally find funny, but I could see why it works also. Rodney Dangerfield, like you said, like I thought he was funny. Every time I laughed, I think it was because of him, but. Like Bill Murray, low key didn't find Bill Murray that funny. Like only thing maybe is like the little face he makes with his little lip. Probably it. But yeah. Overall, I think the story was kind of all over the place, but I also get that like that's not really what they're so I don't really know how much to like take away from that, but yeah, I just don't think for me, I just don't think it aged super well. But yeah, it was an interesting experience for me because I haven't watched a lot of stuff.
So interesting because you don't see like movies like this nowadays.
Where yeah,
like,
never.
You just get a bunch of funny people. You give them a character, and they just stick with that character throughout the entire time filming. Right, like that's yeah. like the whole gist.
I would say, I mean, I like to laugh. I like comedies, but it's hard to find good. I'm just trying to think of movies where I really laughed out loud throughout a movie. I can't think of one right offhand, but even this movie, it's not a really yeah. Dangerfield was the one where he had some, you know, his delivery and all that. Other than that, not a lot of laugh out loud kind of stuff. It's just kind of a
it's amusing,
quirky, yeah. amusing, like, oh, these guys, it's that kind of movie. So, yeah, it's not the funniest movie in my book of all time, but it's just kind of a feel good funny movie.
Yeah.
About golf.
Yeah.
Golf is the setting.
Yeah. So what would you give it out of 5? All 3? What about you?
I'm going to go 3.5.
3.5? Why 3.5?
Well, like I said, not make me bust laugh kind of movie. And yeah, the storyline was kind of eh. Yeah, and it's just not from end to end something that made me just laugh. I mean, I'll be smiling here and there, but yeah, as far as just a constant, oh, that was really funny, or what happened here, or just cleverness, not always there. It was just kind of more kind of basic.
Yeah.
So trying to be realistic, that would be.
Yeah, I went 2 out of 5. Because, I don't know. See, our scaling movies like this is weird. It's like, I can't give it a 3 because I've given these movies a 3 and I like these movies a lot better. Do you ever go through that?
Yeah, I don't care. I just give it.
You just give it.
Because I don't do halves, so it's even harder for me. Yeah, if I think
like,
that way.
What is a 3.5? Is that equivalent to a 7 out of 10?
No. It's
3.5 out of 5.
I would say it's more like a 6
out of 10. Ooh.
Like three is like average. In my head, a 3 is like average. So if I go below 3, it's a below average.
Because I'm thinking 3.5. I mean, I think out of 10, usually.
So right? three and a half
teacher,
would be a,
so I grade yeah, things. Right?
So 3.5 would be 7.
70. That's a C.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So I give it. It's kind of like a C plus, I guess.
Yeah.
If I have to give it a grade.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Oh, great. Yeah. Scale. Wow, okay. Yeah.
In fact, I'm going to stick with that.
Yeah.
I don't care about your 3.
Yeah, give movies a grade.
Okay, well. Well, yeah. You have to translate it then. So, like, what does that mean?
Well, the 4s are B's. Good.
Okay. All right. Yeah. But, yeah, I'm going to. I would love to see more Rodney Dangerfield. You guys, what else is he? You said.
He's in some great old school. No, wait. Is it Back to School? It's called. He's really good in that. So I would recommend that.
Okay.
Back to School. Old School. That's Will Ferrell.
Yeah.
Back to School, I think, was the. That's the one that comes to mind as the best one he was in. But Rodney Dangerfield is a famous comedian. He's a stand-up comedian. That's his main claim to fame. He was on Johnny Carson show, that old talk show for years. And yeah, movies were not his main thing. Like Jerry Seinfeld.
Yeah, yeah.
Movies isn't his main thing.
Yeah. Right? Well, he had
a movie.
Yeah. What else was he in besides that?
I don't know. I just know him from Seinfeld.
Yeah, exactly. So Dangerfield kind of similar in that respect. But I would recommend Back to School if you like, you want more Rodney Dangerfield.
All right. Cool. Okay, moving on to the final movie on our slate today. We have Corner Office, which, if you remember, we were going to do this last episode, but we forgot about it. But mainly, I wanted to watch this movie. I saw a trailer randomly. Big John Hamm guy. Huge John Hamm guy. So we had to watch it. I was very curious about
it. Yeah, I'm pretty sure that was a big motivation for the choice.
Yes.
John Hamm.
Yes. Okay. Yes. Elardo.
Oh, sorry, I just want to ask you, Warren. Does that actors draw you to these movies?
Sometimes, yeah.
Okay, because I've seen so many movies with great actors in it that sucked. So I like a good story.
Well, and when you
no-name actors can really be a great part of it.
Yeah, not that I don't like no-name actors, but with the volume of movies that me and him watch too, it's like, if I'm going to watch something, I'm like, I want to have like some kind of reason to go into
it. And there's a part where I'll take part of what I said back, because Denzel Washington is one of my all-time favorite actors. Go. He's coming out with the Equalizer 3. Yeah. And anytime there's 3 of something,
it's usually not.
That's a bad sign. But I do want to check that out because it's Denzel.
Yeah. His mindset, though, is like, he has a good mindset where he really decides his roles, though, too.
Okay, so are you saying, Elardo, that because of that, he's seen the script, he feels like if I'm going to participate in this, he has a good feeling that's going to be a good movie.
Yeah.
Because obviously he doesn't need the money at this point.
Yeah.
Some actors do. Right?
Yeah. Or the recognition either, because he's got like
I mean he's an all-time great,
but he's probably just doing it because he, like, you know, he really wants to do it.
Yeah, and he is the character, the Equalizer.
Yeah.
There's like other actors like that for me too, though. There's like Will Smith, I'll go see, even though he's had some bad movies. DiCaprio, I'll go see. I don't know, there's more.
Yeah,
well, John,
you
Hamm,
are like
obviously.
That, yeah.
Yeah, I'm like that for sure. Man.
Yeah, I'm not an actor person. Well, for me, it's nostalgia, I think, because any Walking Dead actor, then I'll be like, oh, yeah, I better watch it for them, because I support that. But mainly for me, I'm a huge nerd, right? So it's the writer or director that, like, sells it for me.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they directed this or...
Yeah, Christopher Nolan, I'll go see. Brad Pitt. I don't know, man. I'm a names guy. What can I say? But yeah, back to this review. Corner Office. John Hamm. What were your thoughts?
Man, actually, it was actually better than I thought, because, you know, it was a straight-to-video release thing. Usually, if it's straight-to-video, then it's, like, probably not going to be good. But it was actually better than I thought. I thought it was unique. Usually, when you call something unique, it's like you're saying it's bad. But yeah, I could see how it would be boring for somebody else, but actually, I was actually engaged for some reason. Just hearing him talk, and just like, all right, you know.
I like the monologue stuff a lot.
But... I'd say I don't know if I got any resolution by the end.
Yeah.
You really kind of have to find it yourself. And I was just like, all right, you know, I saw it as a metaphor for drugs or whatever, and he just, you know, he couldn't give up his drug. That's what I... I had to find something, though. That's why.
Okay. Interesting.
Dig a little deeper with that. I want to know, in what way?
So it was troubling him with work, but it was also helping him with work. Sometimes that's how it is for some people, right?
Oh, like Adderall kind of thing.
Kind of, yeah, okay. Exactly, yeah. And he kept coming back to it, and it was like, it was not helping him, though. But in the end, he, you know, he just...
I see it, actually.
So are you saying his imaginary room was like a drug?
Some sort of drug, yeah. I don't know, I just have to find something for myself, because I didn't feel any resolution.
That actually makes sense, because if you replace the room with the drug, it's like, oh, they don't want him to take it.
Everybody looks at him weird, and he's like, oh, what are you doing, you know? He had a chance with that lady, but once that lady saw that, she was out, you know?
Huh.
I just had to find something for myself, too. But it kind of makes sense. So.
Actually, makes so much sense. I don't know. I wasn't thinking about that at all. But what did you think of the movie?
Yeah. I do like thought-provoking movies.
Yeah.
Because... if I know the storyline, unless it's a classic like some of the, or basically many of the movies we were just reviewing are kind of, you know, kind of what's going to happen. Yeah. I generally don't like that, having watched many movies up to this point in my life. So I do look for films that have something interesting to say, or are attempting to say anyway, and make me think like, what is behind all of this? Sometimes it's a movie like that, I'll just get lost too early. Even yeah. It's just so weird that, come on, it's just stupid.
Like, you're giving me nothing to like.
Yes, you cannot give me anything to stay with you. But this movie, in that sense, I did keep, I was intrigued to know what's going to happen next. Where is this going? Because it became so, I guess, the redundancy of the day after day is part of the message, I guess. This mundane office world, generic corporation, right? Because they made the scenes kind of, you know, where is this place? It's in the middle of this snowy area.
They all got the same car.
This building is all by itself.
Yeah.
Everything's gray.
Yeah.
So I, in my mind, the message was, this is kind of a take on the day-to-day drudgery of being in an office or having the same old job all the time. And so in somehow in his mind, he is trying to escape it or make the best of it or in some way. And he's always commenting on the other people. And his take on these other characters. So I kind of found that interesting. I did like how the dialogue was written in general. But I did start, I was hoping for something either more fantastical or like, what do you guys call it when it's
like the payoff like just isn't there.
The payoff being something that you didn't think was going to happen does happen.
Yeah.
Is that kind of what you're saying?
Yeah, sort of.
Yeah.
Or so, just some kind of like punctuation point.
Yeah. So that was lacking. At the end, he was just staring at the wall. So
we didn't really learn anything new.
Yeah. So was the room real or not real? I guess at the end, it wasn't real.
It's up to you. No, I don't know.
Yeah. It's, well,
it wasn't real.
Give me a little bit.
In his mind, it was real.
Yeah. But then, in the end, I was not satisfied. So the journey along the way kept me going, but I felt a sense of lack of satisfaction.
Wait, you say you did feel?
I did not.
You did not.
Yeah,
okay.
I was disappointed in that.
Okay, yeah. I was kind of along the lines of what you're saying. I think the concept was interesting. I liked John Hamm.
I see why he was casted though.
Yeah.
Because he kind of carried the thing. He had to carry
it. I thought he did well in what his role was.
Yeah, I liked that most of the movie was his internal monologue. Yeah.
For a second, I was like, is this going to be the whole movie? Like, he doesn't even say a word, like, actually.
I kind of wanted him to not say
that. That's how it was going to be. But he said something to the guy, so I was like, oh, okay.
But it was most, like, the funniest parts were all from his, like, monologue and him not totally understanding people or, like, reading people correctly, which was funny. Like that one part where, or she said her name to him and he was like, I don't know what I'm supposed to do with this. Like, that part was so funny because he didn't know what to say back. But, just stuff like that I thought was really good. And it did have good buildup. It kind of kept my attention the whole way, like you guys. But yeah, it's just kind of just disappointed at the end, you know, because there's just not enough payoff. You kind of just have to, like you said, make something up yourself. The drug thing actually makes it so much better if you think about it that way. But if they had put that in the movie, it would have been so much better. Like, if they had some kind of explanation of, like, what it is. But since they didn't do that, it's kind of like...
I feel like if they explained it, though, then it would just be like...
Well, don't you guys always go and research what it's about and what the point of view is supposed to be? They didn't give any, you know, like, the critics or...
I mean, this movie is so, like...
Writer, what, no insight on...
Well, I try not to do that because I'm like, okay, well, I should be able to get that just from watching it most of the time.
I've seen you look up
stuff. Yeah, I'll try. Yeah, like, There wasn't really much on this movie.
Though. Tiny movie.
Yeah, it was a tiny movie. But no, it's just not enough payoff, which is kind of disappointing because it was super interesting. And I feel like it could have been a lot better.
But yeah. I know for a movie that has to be like in one location, only a few characters, keeps you pretty engaged, which is kind of hard to do.
Was there anything from the chat there?
That was something from a while ago.
Oh. Yeah, so for context, Alardo has the chat and everything today because we are on the road and we have minimal equipment. So we can come back to it after we finish Corner Office, okay, maybe. Well, if it's interesting. Still there.
Are you still there, viewer, that put through the chat?
Okay. But
we don't want to ignore the people.
Well, is it?
It's about horror stuff.
Oh, what did we do, Carrie? We did Caddyshack after Halloween. But we'll come back to it. So what, Corner Office, to kind of close it out, what would you give it out of 5?
Solid 3, yeah. It's like solid throughout and then kind of peters off.
Yeah. What about you?
Okay, so a 3 to me would be a D. That is poor. It wasn't a fail. Like I said, I like John Hamm's performance. I did like the dialogue here and there. I thought it was had some clever moments, but it didn't lead me to a place that I was hoping it would go. To really be deeper, either more thought-provoking or some kind of twist that would like, oh, whoa. And that lacked. And so I felt a little.
Yeah, I also felt that way.
So.
Okay. Well, I also have a 3, but that would be like a C to me. So, but like, I'm not gonna give it a 3.5 because in that on the scale of 5, it just doesn't make sense.
Well, a 3.5 times 2 is a 7, which is a C.
Right, anyway, but
hey, I'm the guest, but I'm just bringing my own rating scale. System. Yeah. Okay.
All right, whatever. Well, I say it's a 3 out of 5. Just the ending and the like, it could have had such, yeah, like you said, more, it could have been so much more thought provoking, have such a better, like, more interesting message. You end up kind of having to be like, oh, well, I guess it's just a whole place in his mind that he don't want him to be at, or the corporate world doesn't like, or whatever. And it's kind of like, okay, well, all right.
I know it's tough because, like, I get for people why, like, when a movie is good throughout but the ending's bad, why they just, like, don't like the movie at all because it's like, after, why did I watch this?
Yeah, exactly. It's like you're missing the point, or they, not the audience missing the point, but, like, yeah, there's no point to get. Really a shame. But, yeah, what's our comments today looking like?
Comments.
Yeah, here we go.
Still here,
go for it.
Okay.
Man. Do the horror one. Okay, that was pretty interesting.
Hold on, I gotta give me a second. Can you filibuster for a second?
Well, this is about Harry, I think.
I see the short one.
Dangerfield.
Dangerfield's real claim to fame is he didn't get recognized until he was in his 50s.
Yeah, he was late to the stage, so to speak. Thanks for is that a research or is that a viewer?
It was a viewer.
He was not successful until his later years. Binding.
Okay, and then we got a couple of I missed one before about Caddyshack also. That type of comedy won't go over well today because it wasn't politically correct. They made fun of everyone and used old school derogatory words that would hurt people's feelings today. I didn't really get that from me. I wasn't really a
Really Rodney was bringing his friend Mr. Wang.
I did see that part.
Okay, is that an Asian stereotype or whatever? And of course, like the kind of, you could see things as sexist or whatever. Of course, I'm an old guy. Right. I'm not into the political correctness. Hey, we laugh at everybody and so on. But yeah, I don't know if a similar movie could be made today.
Probably.
I don't know. Maybe. I mean, but yeah, it wasn't that bad. But yeah, there's such
an there were moments, yeah.
Yeah, there was a couple times where I was like, ooh, I don't know about that. But I wasn't like...
Most of it was just terrible. Like, just dumb,
yeah.
Fun.
So, yeah,
yeah.
So harmless.
Stupid. Yeah, harmless. Yeah, harmless. Yeah.
People are just a lot of getting it was harmless. Too serious about stuff and too sensitive.
Okay, and then we have last comment about Carrie. Or I'm assuming this was during when we were talking about Carrie. When it comes to horror movies, you don't really care about who's in it because it's all about the killer. Friday the 13th, Nightmare on Elm Street, Halloween. They can use B-list actors because we are there for the body count. I think...
Was that about Carrie?
Well, what are we talking about? You wouldn't know the horror, did we? But I think Carrie, the casting in that specifically was more important because...
Oh, okay, no, the remake, yeah.
Oh, the remake, yeah. Oh, I see. I don't know about the remake.
Well, they still have to look the part is what I was saying, though. Like, the good guy looks like a good guy. The mean girls look like mean girls. And in the Carrie remake, it's like they all kind of just look the same.
So even the Carrie actress?
She looks, you know.
Okay, kind of.
She wasn't a sissy space, that's for sure.
Okay, yeah. So the actress, I'm assuming, is kind of like supposed to be a plain Jane, very naive, living a sheltered life. So you got that vibe from the remake actress, too?
I mean, yeah, she's good, but no, yeah, she's really
Chloe Grace Moretz.
Yeah,
like,
can you imagine that?
Yeah,
I mean, I mean, you could see it.
Like, the end part, I
you can
I don't
see it. Kind of,
she doesn't really have like the same creepy.
I mean, kind of works because yeah, she does look awesome still at the end. I just mean it's just the story though, like that's yeah. Awesome, you know.
Hmm. But
yeah.
But what I was saying, like from those movies, like Friday the 13th and stuff, like they all have. You can use anybody because it's mostly like just slashers and they have masks on and stuff. But Carrie, like, she's playing, you have somebody that's playing two different personalities almost. Or, like, I don't know. This
or you have to, like, your range has to be.
Exactly. So that's why it was a more important part of why we talked about it. But,
yeah, there was that awesome shot in Carrie, though, where she's like, yeah, she's covered in blood and there's a fire behind her. Yeah, it looked awesome.
Oh, yeah.
I'm pretty sure the budget, they, like, again, it was the first Stephen King adaptation, so their budget wasn't that big. But I feel like whatever it was, they used it.
Oh, that table shot on the teacher too. Ooh. Ooh.
Yeah, you had a literal gasp. But I did want to give another Sissy Spacek shout out. I did see Story of Loretta Lynn. The movie's name, I just got it. Coal Miner's Daughter was, I believe, she won an Academy Award, or was nominated at least.
Yeah, check me on that one. Did Michael ever get back on the?
He did not.
Okay.
Yeah, she did win.
She did win.
Best actress.
There you go. Okay.
Wow.
Thank you. Old school movie knowledge to the people.
Oh, this is a little bit of a tangent, but we were talking about this. The Oscars, or we talked about this a few times, I think.
Mm-hmm.
What is your opinion? Well, I guess what is your overall opinion of the Oscars and like, how they vote and things like that? Because like, oh, well, okay, maybe like a long time ago, maybe like I don't know if that's that long ago, but a year or two ago, I was like, well, they should just have the people vote for Oscars. I don't know why we have this committee of people. Little vote, like, you know, just voting on these movies and deciding who gets an Oscar. It should be popular, but then Alardo made a good point. He's like, well, then it'd just be like MTV. And I was like, oh, it takes away the prestigiousness of it. Yeah, what are your thoughts on that?
I think, yeah, I don't like the voting part by the people for the Oscars, but at the same time, those are so stuffy trying to be cool in their sense of this Hollywood in crowd, and sometimes that influences their picks for just these movies that are not that good sometimes, and they're looking, it's overly artsy. I'll say like Top Gun, right? It was unreal blockbuster last year.
Yeah.
I mean, what movie won Best Picture last year?
Shoot, I should know this off the top of my head.
Oh, see, I don't know.
It becomes, yeah, it's something that hardly anybody wants to watch.
Oh, Everything Everywhere All at Once.
Oh, okay. That's a bad example. Bad example.
That one. But to bring back what you're talking about, Alardo, about getting the, you know, the people involved, the moviegoers.
Yeah.
That's where the people that do decide in the Academy should take that in as a factor.
Consideration, yeah.
What are people enjoying out there? Not just their own, their own perception of how art should be on film.
Hmm.
What I say is they're smelling their own farts.
Okay. That's a great description. Smelling their own farts. Yeah. They got a, instead of something, like I said, it should be a combination of, yeah, okay, if they're film critics or they have all this experience, the genre of filmmaking, that's cool. But, you know, be real too. Good movie is something that a lot of times should hit a wide audience.
On that note, I'm going to get my plugs off here to kind of close out the show. We kind of reviewed everything we needed to review there. So if you are on social media, specifically Instagram and TikTok, follow us. On Instagram, we are at Mix Podcasting, and on TikTok, we are at The Mix Pod. We put a lot of time and effort into getting clips on there from the show. I personally think they're very good, so check them out, especially on TikTok. Instagram, we post a lot of updates about when we're going live and when new episodes drop on like Spotify and things. So definitely go check us out on those places. If you like the live show, please be sure to drop a follow here on Twitch. We do the show live here every other week. We never decided what we're doing next episode.
There's the One Piece live action.
They're doing a live action?
Yeah. One Piece? Yeah. And then there's a bunch of movies. Because since we did this, we can catch up on movies.
Okay.
That we didn't do, you know.
Well, let's just say next episode is going to be a surprise because we don't know.
One Piece for sure, though, probably, right?
Yeah, that sounds interesting, even though I've never seen the show. Shout out to our chatter today. I don't know the. I can't see the username.
Yeah.
What's the GZD4EV? Thank you for your contributions. I have no clue. But
thank you out there, inhabitant of Earth. Always love the comments.
Yeah.
Yeah, we gotta, you know, make sure that valuable viewers.
Yeah, I like our TikTok.
Interesting comments. Yeah.
But yeah. Anyway. Little tangent there. Thank you. Shout out to my dad for joining us today.
Yes, thank you.
75th episode.
Hey, congrats, guys, once again for your longevity. That is a sign of success.
Yeah, so, I'm surprised we're here too, but thank you. We'll have you back for 100 and we'll do more of it. All right. Any last words/final thoughts, Alardo?
No. Any last words?
Oh, yeah. I don't know. Why did I start saying that? I didn't say that before. Yeah. Anyway. But yeah, that's going to do it for us this time. We'll see you guys next time on The Mix.